I don't know if I've ever had an introduction quite like that that makes me want to sit down. Tonight we come. We come to the table and we come to a place of washing. In the Hasidic wisdom, there is a saying, the one true prerequisite for prayer is a broken heart. The rabbi came, the rabbi, and asked, "Why is it, teacher, that we are told to put the scripture on our hearts?" And the rabbi said, "So that when your heart breaks open, it can fall in." Let us pray. Oh, holy and wondrous God, this night feels so mysterious, and we feel so vulnerable. But we pray now that our hearts and minds might be open, that the brokenness we feel might find healing. Amen. It's not a drum. It's a foot washing basin. March 10th, 1961, some of you will remember it, some of you not. I remember it because I was baptized in my little Mennonite church in central Illinois. I was 10 years old. You figure it out now. It was called Believer's Baptism. Sometimes they called it Adult Baptism. I didn't feel much like an adult at 10 years old, but I truly believed I was a believer. March 10th. March 30th, 1961, Maundy Thursday in 1961, the first time as a baptized believer, I took communion. The bread and the cup in my little Mennonite church back in central Illinois. And if you know anything about the Anabaptist traditions, you know that many of those churches practice foot washing. So we had a lot of these. And back in two Sunday school rooms in the church, after everyone had received communion, we broke into two groups, men and women, and went to these rooms. I'd never done this before in my life, but I'm telling you what, I was clean. My mother said, "You will wash your feet, will clean your toenails, will trim your toenails. When you go in there, there won't be any dirt anywhere." That was a little frightening, too. But I thought, okay, I can do this. My mother's cousin, Alice, said to me a week earlier, "Marianne, you will go with me for foot washing." So Alice gathered me up, and we went into this little room where there are lots of these, filled with warm water, and there are towels, and there are chairs sitting by the tubs. And Alice said, "Sit down, I will wash your feet." So I took off my socks and shoes, and I put my feet over the basin, and she took her hands and just gently, gently put the water on my feet and took the towel and dried them as best she could. I was a little ticklish and I was a little worried, but it all went fine. And then she sat down. Now, Alice was older, a little older than my mother. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and please don't be embarrassed, but I need to tell you the whole story. She took her garters and undid her hose. Some of you will remember that. And she started to roll her stockings down. And she put her feet over the bowl. And I gently, gently washed her feet, dried her feet. And then we moved over to the benches where you went to put your stuff back together. And there I was in the room with all of these women. My grandmother, her sister, my great aunt, all of these women. It was a kind of quiet moment. Then we had put on our stockings, and when we stood up, Alice turned to me, and she held me by the shoulders, and she kissed me on this cheek and then this cheek. And she said, "The peace of Christ be with you." Do you know about the kiss of peace? That's it. And we walked back out to the sanctuary and took our places in the pews. I've often thought about those moments with those women in that room, because you see, we all knew each other. We knew the stories. In the Anabaptist tradition, often it is the case, this is not United Methodist theology, so don't hold on to this. I just need to tell you about it. Often the tradition was that you didn't take communion if you were out of fellowship with one of your neighbors. And you know, that can provoke a lot of gossip in a church. So-and-so, yeah. We think about that now, and I think about what happened at the table that night. I think Jesus, like us, came to that table with a heart that was broken. Broken wide open. He sat at that table already knowing betrayal, denial, the sleepiness that would take the disciples in the garden. He knew. His heart was broken, but that was the beginning of his prayer. It was the way he could pray himself into right relationship. He was okay with God, I think. Although there was a moment, wasn't there? If this cup can be passed from me. That's how we come to this table. Broken. There's not a one of us that isn't. Not a one. Sometimes our brokenness doesn't show. But sometimes our brokenness is so deep within us that we don't know how to come to this table. But we come in faith. We come knowing that there's something at this table that can change us, that can heal us, that can make us new. His name was Harold Timberman. But when I say it, I want to stand up straighter. I want to be braver than I am. Harold came to Woodside United Methodist Church sometime in the mid-80s, showed up out of nowhere, and pretty much lived out of nowhere. But every time Harold came to worship, he brought me something. The first time he came, he brought me a list of all of the farmers' markets in the state of Indiana, saying to me, "You have three little children, surely you can use this." He would bring me books. I was a little embarrassed by the gifts. And then one night, he came to a Bible study that I was teaching in the church. He walked in with a paper bag, like a grocery sack, sat it on the table, and just started talking. He says, "I know you're going to the Holy Land, and I have some things for you." And one by one, he pulled out this stuff. He brought out a magazine that was about the Holy Land, and he says, "I've written the number for Amnesty International right here on the cover in case you get in trouble." I guess he knew me. Then he pulled out just a little tiny clay oil lamp. And he says, "You know, you can't count on electricity in foreign countries. No oil, just a little lamp." By this time, everybody in the room is enthralled with what's happening here, and I'm probably turning three shades of red, but he wasn't done because he pulled out a hank of rope, serious rope, and he said, "If something happens and you need to get out of the hotel room." And I thought, surely this is it. No, he's not done. He hands me 2 1-ounce little bars of silver. And he says, "Sometimes people would rather barter here." And then he took his wallet out of his pocket, and he handed me a $5 bill, and he said, "Buy yourself something nice." That's what happens. The unexpected gift of grace. Harold was in another world. Harold was a Vietnam vet. Came home from Vietnam with the ravages of Agent Orange. And he died as a result of that. But somewhere along the line, Harold had learned that in your brokenness, you have gifts to give. I'll tell you, I took the 2 silver pieces and I took the $5 bill to Israel. And I bought myself something nice. And I brought Harold something nice from Israel as well. But our brokenness is what brings us here. Our brokenness is what brings us here. Because we can't figure it out on our own. Because the broken heart we carry needs healing. We need that scripture to fall right into our hearts. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes should not perish, but have life. He did not come to condemn the world, but that the world, through Jesus, might be saved. That's why we come to this table. We need to come all the time. We need our hearts filled when our hearts are broken. Jesus' brokenness wasn't finished, and we'll hear more about that tomorrow night. But in his brokenness, He didn't say, not you, Judas, not you, Paul. He didn't say any of that. He said, y'all come. And it's just your feet. Good old Peter, he thought he needed a full bath. But no, just let me wash the water over your feet, and you will know. Judas, Peter, all of them. None of them quite had it. Just like for us, there are moments when we can't figure it out. It's not magic. We come and we eat simple things, bread and juice. The ordinary stuff of life that brings new life. In the liturgy that we will be sharing tonight, there is a line, that talks about remembering. And it's such a wonderful image for us because we will break the bread, but what Jesus does is remember it, puts the pieces back together. They might not fit the same way they did before, but the pieces are made whole. Just as our brokenness can be remembered. Let us pray. Holy God, we come broken as we are, vulnerable as we are, human as we are, and we come to this table remembering how much you gave for us, and we give you our thanks. Amen.